Welcome to the last week of Get in the Game. Man, today's like a foundational message. It's called Stick to the Game Plan, because God has a purpose and a plan for our life. Like, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know I have a bunch of life verses. My number one life verse, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the result is He'll direct your path." He says, "And I'll direct your path." And my purpose and plan for you in this message is that you can hear the voice of the Lord and you know that He has a winning game plan. He has a plan for your life. Stick to the plan. So we're looking at big principles, and we're also going to talk about how to practically implement that. And we have a great story out of Judges chapter 6. It's the story of Gideon. So at this time in history, Israel doesn't have a king. They're led by spiritual leaders, by judges. But at this point, there's really been a void. No one's really leading them. They're still tribally led. But they find themselves in a situation where they're being raided by the Midianites, by the Amalekites, and by, it says, just people from the east, so that they're stealing their harvest. They're not being raided until harvest time, and their enemies are waiting until after they've harvested all of their grain. Then they're coming in with sizable forces and stealing all of their grain and killing people, taking people as slaves and captives. It's a terrible situation, and the whole land of Israel, remember it's tribal, but all of the tribes are just, they're just wore out, and they begin to cry out to God. And so God responds. So in chapter 6, verse 7 of Judges, this is what we see. The nation of Israel just being oppressed by the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other groups of people from the east. It says, verse 7, "When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord, your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you've not listened to me.'" And he's saying, "Hey, you did it your way. And look where it got you, in a place of oppression, in a place of misery. And that's not the place I had for you." So many times we think that we want to blame God. And God is saying, "Listen, you live in a broken and messed up world. But if you trust me, I'm going to walk with you through it." So this is what is really cool. In verse 11, even though he says, "Hey, you chose your way. You didn't do it my way." When we do it our way, I mean, it might feel good for a little while, but almost never ends up at a good place. Verse 11, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press." So he's down in the ground. He's kind of hidden to hide the grain from the Midianites. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" So this is like a supernatural and unbelievable event. Like, they've been oppressed. Now they're having to hide. They're harvesting as best as they can and hiding. And now here we have this young man, Gideon, who's in a wine press in a depressed area, probably with some walls built up. And he's threshing the grain so that the enemy doesn't see him. And all of a sudden, this angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And this is Gideon's response, because it's epic. He's like, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles of our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites," which is so not true. We just read how God said, "You did it your way." But when this angel, this supernatural visitation says, "Mighty hero," what's he say exactly? "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And he's like, "Really? Really? Because it seems like, God, like, you abandoned us. Look at the enemy all around." But his perspective isn't right. He can't see clearly. And in the middle of oppression, in the middle of misery, we can't see that either. So here's the first point. I only have three. Here's the first one. God alone sees the big picture. God alone sees the big picture. And he's saying, "I see it." Like, he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord's with you." And Gideon's like, "What? Where are you?" God alone sees the big picture. He has a purpose and a plan. You've got to recognize that it's not about you. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. You've got to know that God sees where you are. God sees the big picture. Look at verse 16. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Wow, that's a big deal. But look at Gideon's response. Remember, when the angel shows up and he's in this wine press hiding, threshing grain, hoping that the enemy doesn't see him and come and kill him and steal his stuff. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Oh, really? If God's with us, where are all those miracles I heard about? Where are they at? If God's with us, like, how come we feel like we're abandoned? Like, we heard about all the miracles in Egypt. And then the angel speaks again. The Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel. I'm sending you. Here's the second point. God trusts us. He trusts us with his plan. God trusts us with his plan. This is where we have to have faith. We have to have faith in God, and this is so key, we have to have faith in God, but we also have to have faith in us, that we can be who God's called us to be. We have to know that I can be the man or the woman of God that God's created me to be. I have to have faith in him, that he has a plan, that if I trust him, his plan's going to happen, but it never will if I don't also have faith in me, knowing that God is with me, knowing that I can fulfill the calling that's on my life, that I can be and do what God's called me to be and do. And this is where Gideon struggles, because remember, the first thing the angel said, he said, mighty hero, the Lord's with you. And Gideon deflects. He's like, oh, really? If that's the case, how come I'm in the bottom of wine press hiding? And then the Lord turns to him. He doesn't even respond. He just says, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel. It was already in him. This angel of the Lord, or maybe it's a theophany and it's the Lord himself. It's saying, no, you are a hero, but you don't see it. You have strength in you that you don't know. And I'm going to use the strength that I know is in you that you don't know yet to rescue Israel. And we know that Gideon struggles with faith, not just in God, but also himself. And this is key and huge, because here's his response. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. He points out his shortcomings, his perceived, they're not even real, Manasseh is a huge tribe, his perceived weaknesses. He points them out to the Lord as disqualifiers, like, I can't do that because. Listen, you got to know that God sees the big picture, but he trusts you with his plan. He trusts you. God trusts you with his plan. But you got to know that you were created with enough strength and fortitude to be able to be and do what God's called you to be and do, so that he can use you to be a deliverer of oppression, people who are in oppression, starting with yourself. Kind of hard, isn't it? This is a faith issue. Faith in God, faith in you. Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show you a sign. Well, Gideon's always looking for the signs. It's kind of a theme through this story. And I'm not going to read all of them, because I want you to read it. Go read Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7. So he's like, he wants a sign. He gets a sign. Gives him a sign. Gideon builds an altar to the Lord. And then in verse 25, it says, that night the Lord said to Gideon, take a bull from your father's herd, the second bull, he'd already sacrificed one, that is 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal. Pull down your father's altar to Baal. Gideon's daddy was worshiping a sick, perverted, violent, terrible god. He says, pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole, which was another god of fertility and extreme immorality. He said, then cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it, then build an altar to the Lord your God. Here's my last point. It's point three. I'm delivering it a little early, but that's all right. God always draws up a winning play. God sees the big picture, and he's trusting you, with his plan. But you have to know that God draws up a winning plan, always. He always draws up a winning plan. Why am I saying that? Because the plan that God had isn't always easy, and it is usually at great risk to you. Because what Gideon is being told by God, you need to take another bull. I know you built an altar to me. You can read the story, the backstory on that. But I want you to take the second bull from your father's herd. Now, he's taking his daddy's stuff. And bulls weren't cheap. They were more expensive than just a regular cow because they're used for breeding. So he says, take another bull, and I want you to sacrifice it, build an altar to the Lord. But first, I want you to tear down the altar to Baal. It's a false god. Then I want you to cut down the Asherah pole. Okay, not a big deal, except for the fact that both the altar and the pole weren't just used by his daddy. They were used by everybody in his clan and that whole town. And so Gideon, something rises up inside of him, and I really believe he begins to know that God's with him and that he was created to be a deliverer, and he obeys. So here's the thing, like, God trusts us with his plan. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in us. It takes obedience and risk. This was a huge risk. Here's why. Because he does what God's called him to do in tearing down the altar of Baal and cutting down the Asherah pole. He does it at night, though. And the next morning when everybody wakes up and they see the Asherah pole cut down and the altar destroyed, they said, who did it? And it comes out that Gideon's like, yeah, it was Gideon. And they want to kill him. And Gideon's daddy steps in and says, no, if Baal is for real, let Baal contend. But he doesn't die and the people don't kill him. Because though the people around him don't know God's winning play, the plan, Gideon does. And he knows that he was called from the onset to be a mighty hero. Everybody wants to be that. God wants to use you to deliver people who are in oppression. He wanted Gideon to know that he was a mighty hero, that God was with him, and that he had a purpose, a plan, and a destiny to deliver oppressed people. This purpose, plan, and destiny to deliver oppressed people is something that God has placed on all of us, ALL, all of us. We have to know that we will be a mighty hero to someone, not because of our own strength, but because God is with us and that he will use us to deliver. So nobody knew. They were like, man, what is this kid doing? He's like really radical for the God of the ancient God of our ancient God, even though we're worshiping Baal and Asherah. But they are also in the middle of oppression. Now we're going to go to chapter 7 because God begins to speak again. Hey, I'm going to use you to deliver the nation. Well, I want you to deliver the nation from the hand of Midian and the Amalekites and the people of the east. I'm going to use you to bring deliverance. Nobody else really knows that until Gideon begins to raise an army, because the Lord tells him, you need to raise an army. So Gideon, this guy who says he's the least, that he can't do it, that his family is nothing, he steps out in faith, faith in God, but also having faith in himself, knowing that God said who he was and he believed that. You need to believe who God says you are. Chapter 7. So Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, and his army, he has an army, got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. His armies, the armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. That's interesting. You know how many warriors Gideon raised? This guy who was hiding in a wine press threshing grain, he raises 32,000 men to go and fight with him because he believed the truth that he was a mighty hero because God was with him. You are too. I've got to know, Lord, you're going to use me. I'll be here. Somebody will come up to me and say, thank you so much. That has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with the power of God in their life. But here's the thing, through me. That's not arrogance. That's not pride. That's a confidence and a deep-rooted faith that I know that I can fulfill the call that's on my life, but so can you. This is where Gideon was. He went from the guy hiding from the enemy to the guy who was the general of 32,000 men, so much so that God says, you got too many people with you. You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So he does it. All right, if you're scared, you're worried about this battle, you go home. 22,000 people leave. He's left with 10,000 people. Verse 4, but the Lord told Gideon, there's still too many. Bring them down to the spring. I'll test them. So they go down to a creek, to a spring. And he says, tell them to drink. And everybody who sticks their head in the water, they're out. Only 300 people, 300 men put their hands into the water and pull it up so they can be aware of their surroundings and see what's going on. They drink. That's the army of 300. And God uses 300 men to defeat an army that it says that they look like locusts. What's the point here? And I'm not going to read the whole ending. It's actually a really cool ending because there's another whole spiritual thing where Gideon begins to doubt whether or not God can use those 300 men to defeat the enemy. And then God says, go down into the camp of the enemy, sneak down at night, and I'm going to show you something. And he shows him this really cool thing, and he hears confirmation. By the way, there's a theme of God confirming his purpose and his plan over and over. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fourth or fifth confirmation that Gideon has from the Lord that he's supposed to do this crazy thing of fighting an army of tens of thousands with 300 men. But he has faith in God that he's with him. And so if you read the rest of the story, you realize that his 300 men surround at night this camp of tens of thousands of enemy warriors that are coming to destroy Israel. 300. And you just got to read it. It's really cool. And God throws the whole camp into chaos. They have a torch, they have a sword or a horn, and they have a thing of pottery. And God uses those silly things, a trumpet, like a horn, a torch, like a burning torch, and a clay pot. And that's how the victory is won. Why? So that Gideon and all of the people of Israel can know that God is a deliverer. But the deliverance never, when they do, the Midians wiped out, they kill themselves. They fight among themselves. Why? Like, how did that happen? Because one person had enough faith to believe that God was with them and that what he said would happen. Gideon needs confirmation over and over, and you should never be afraid to ask for confirmation from the Lord. But you got to know, God's got a winning play. He's called you to be a part of his plan. In fact, God trusts you with his plan. The New Testament says that he puts that hope in vessels of clay. That's us. Do you know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? His plan is to use you to bring people to the place of freedom. Freedom from oppression, freedom from depression, freedom from the consequences of a broken and sinful world. The world's waiting for you, and God's speaking to you, and he's saying, you're a hero, and I'm with you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus knows your name? And he died for you. And the last thing he said before he left this earth, after being crucified and resurrected, the resurrected Jesus, the last thing says, go make disciples. Teach people. Teach people the truth that Jesus knows them, loves them, has a purpose and a plan. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you can't think of the last person that God used you to impact. Shouldn't be that way. I'm not heaping condemnation on you. I'm just saying God has a plan for you to reach people and be an instrument that he used to see people walk in freedom. And maybe you're listening to my voice and you're the one that feels like you're in a place of oppression. Well, guess what? God gets to use me to tell you that he knows you and he loves you and has a purpose for you. But you have to surrender to him. You have to turn from your way, turn from your sin, and trust God. Have faith in him. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just pray with me right now. Say, dear Lord, I trust you. I turn from my way, from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I know you're not mad at me. You've forgiven me. Jesus took the penalty for my sin on the cross. I'm choosing you. I receive you as Lord and King of my life, Jesus. I'm yours. In your name I pray, amen. Listen, if that was you, man, what's the next, you're like, what's the next step? Connect to a godly church, be baptized. It's a picture of what God does and taking that, being dunked underwater. It's the old person. It's a going underneath the water and a new person coming to life. Be baptized. Get into a godly, into a Bible-based godly church so that you can be surrounded by people who love you and believe the best for you. Anyway, love you guys. Great being with you. See you again soon. God bless.